We have Mark Clark with us today. And Mark, if you are in the Warbird end of the world, you probably know his name. And he said he started flying at 14 and he had a life-changing ride in a Mustang, which I never got to do. I'm still waiting for that. That's actually why I invited him on the
show.
Is
that the deal?
Yeah,
okay.
That's,
I was wondering.
Mark's been the head honcho at Courtesy Aircraft over in Rockford, which, of course, everybody around Chicagoland knows him. And I found out that every place else knows you, too. Good things, of course, when it comes to Warbirds. And he's a high-time pilot and A&P mechanic as well. And
well, I'm you sorry, have technician. To be an A&P yeah. if you're going to work around Warbirds, wow. is my understanding.
So no, they're definitely overbuilt, so they're pretty nice to take care
well,
of.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be
I
here.
Think it's the first time we've talked about Warbirds in a while, and we seem to have a couple of them up here. And how many have you sold that are up here?
we've been very lucky. We've sold a lot of the airplanes that are here. Of course, a lot of our airplanes are sold overseas. I actually have two airplanes going overseas in the next couple of weeks. So, but we still have a gigantic Warbird market here in the States, and you know, we'll probably have 400 Warbirds here at Oshkosh this year.
When we talk about Warbirds, I mean, there seem to be different definitions of that, but when you speak of Warbird, what does that mean exactly?
Well, my particular interest is really the World War II and later airplanes. I think those are the airplanes that have a gigantic amount of significance to people of our generation and subsequent generations and the earlier generations. They changed a lot of things.
Bigger, smaller? I mean, my understanding is they call them poor men's Warbirds, but they come in all shapes and sizes,
right,
don't
right.
they?
Right, yeah. We have a pretty broad spectrum from the liaison and observation airplanes, the L-5s, the L-3s, the L-19s, all the way up to, we have a B-29 here. There's not too many of those available on the market at the moment. They just got a second one flying a few weeks ago down in Wichita, so that's going to be pretty cool. Hopefully next year we'll have two B-29s here.
Is it for sale?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. I mean, I can't even imagine what the price on a B-29 would be, but you know, too, I was watching as I drove in today, I watched a Sky Raider take off, and my cousin used to fly those in Southeast Asia, and he used to tell me stories about them, and that they were just huge monster radial engines attached to the front end of something to make all the rest of it fly into the air, because when you look at one of those airplanes, you just see massive chunks of things flying, but those kinds of motors, I mean, where do you even go if you had a Warbird of, say, radial engine category? I mean, do you know, is it kind of the marketplace? You know certain places?
Sure, sure. It's like anything. If you're into vintage cars or old boats, there's that whole network of people. If you're into Cessna 170s or 195s or Piper Cherokees, there's a whole network of people out there and companies that specialize in keeping these things going. But, of course, with our surplus airplanes, the government built lots and lots of parts. So it's generally pretty easy to pick up the phone, and one or two phone calls, you can find a part for your Warbird. And of course, World War II, so many of the parts were common. They had the AN standards that stood for Army Navy, so an AN 5531 gyro would work in a P-41 or P-51, a P-47, an A-26, a B-25. So there was a lot of standardization of parts, and of course that was one of the reasons that they were able to do the gigantic number of airplanes, you know, production during the war. And of course, you know, all of us that work on airplanes, we talk about AN bolts and nuts. Well, that stands for Army Navy standards. So an AN 5-31 is an AN 5-31. It's a recognized standard, and those bolts are working lots of airplanes.
You come up here to Air Venture every year, and you see so many different airplanes, and then of course you'll see clumps of the same kind of airplane. But what are the really popular Warbirds for those folks that are into that?
Well, there's so many choices, like I said earlier, starting with the L-Birds all the way up to the bombers. And, people tend to have an affinity. The T-34 guys hang together and the T-28 guys hang together. The Mustang guys, the fighter guys, hang together. Part of that's due to the similar performance characteristics of the airplanes. It's going to be a little hard to fly formation with with an L2 and a P-51. That's going to be a little difficult. So the L guys stick together and the Mustang guys stick together. But over the last few years, the standardization of formation training, they have a program called FAST, and it's a recognized standard. And in order to fly formation in wavered airspace, you have to have a FAST card. So there's a training program, there's a testing program, there's an annual check that they have to do. So, you know, safety is foremost. And we see the mass formations here at Oshkosh, and it's pretty amazing to see those guys do that. It's hard work.
That FAST program really has done a terrific job of making the whole process safer and also encouraging these guys to get training in airplanes.
Well, and the nice thing about it is, I mean, you can get your FAST card in California, and you can go and take your airplane to an air show in Texas, and you're accepted because the people down there know that you've met a standard.
Yeah, and you know, the formation flying is an interesting point. I mean, the first time I did it with a friend, we were being kind of, you know. We
yeah,
were
that's not
cool.
the FAST program,
and
by the way.
And you realize, no, it's not FAST. I was pretty slow, actually. You don't realize how dangerous it is when you have another airplane in incredibly close proximity, and you're not sure what the other guy is going
to
do.
You need to know what you're doing. You need to pre-brief it. You both need to have confidence that you're going to do what you said you're going to do.
There's a lot
involved, and there's tremendous precision. I've worked in some of the FAST program, and I've seen what it's like to be in a T6 and literally have the tail wheel of the T6 in front of me. Just right here.
You can reach out and just about touch it.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to hit me on the forehead.
Right. But, you know, we're very lucky to have that, and the whole Oshkosh experience grows greater every year, and I've been here every year. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, you know, what if someone is listening and they said, well, you know, I always kind of wanted to do that, and maybe I'll go wander around the Warbirds area just to look around, and maybe I might do something like that, maybe get a T6 or. But isn't there sort of an education process too to more than just buying the airplane?
Sure. Well, and coming to Oshkosh or coming to Sun and Fun or going to your local air show and meeting some of the people, that's part of the education process. You know, very few people come up here and decide on the spot that they want to buy an airplane. I have actually had people though come up here and 2 days later come up and say, I'm going to buy that airplane. That doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Most of the people do come up here, get to meet some of the people, and, you know, depending on their interest and their background ability as a pilot, you know, if they're a tailwheel guy or not a tailwheel guy, you know, wherever their budget level is, there's something for them. So they tend to naturally gravitate towards what interests them. And, you know, some of the people, you know, my grandpa flew a B-17, they'll say, well, you know, I want to at least take a B-17 ride. I mean, it'd be afford one, but you know what? He started in a T6. Maybe I should have a T6. So there's a lot of that. There's a million reasons people do these things. So
I'm up here doing that this year, actually thinking.
Oh, you are.
I may not get past the thinking stage on a Warbird, but I'm.
We get full disclosure here.
That's
it's
right.
So
yeah,
interesting.
Right. Here's my card.
It just brought back so many memories that my. When I was a kid, and my cousin was about eight or 9 years older than me, and just talked about that Sky Raider all the time, and so I watched it go by in camouflage, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, did you see the two Sky Raiders and the B-25 this morning?
I did, as a matter of fact.
One of those Sky Raiders I sold, and the B-25 I sold. There's four Sky Raiders here today, and two of them I've sold.
So you have a large fleet of airplanes yourself, in a way.
Well, I kind of do. I'm very lucky. We have customers all over the country and all over the world, so.
Did you ever want to do anything else?
Not really. My father was a private pilot, and I used to ride around with him when I was a little kid. He got involved in the aviation business in the late 50s as part of another business he was involved in. And I just hung out at the airport and did all of the things, washing airplanes and, you know, doing whatever you could just to hang around the airport. And one of these days, I'm going to have to get a real job.
Yeah. I don't think so. I have a question to ask, though. Do you have particular people you send people to when you think you've got a sale under control? Do you have people that you send them to for pre-buys? Because you got to send them to somebody who knows the airplane.
We do.
Definitely.
There's a couple of things. I very much like people to do due diligence on their airplane. All of these airplanes are different. The level of restoration is different. But certainly somebody that's going to inspect a T-28 should have some knowledge of a T-28. If they're a tube and fabric kind of guy, they're probably not the guy to look at a T-28. But there's a pretty good network of shops around. And if somebody calls up and says, you know, they're interested in a T-28 or a T-6 in Dallas, I can tell them somebody down there that can look at the airplane. And a lot of times, if they have a good mechanic, but he's not really knowledgeable on the Warbird, I will have them come up to Rockford. There's a very good shop we work with there. And they can spend some time and, you know, go through the airplane with the mechanics that are knowledgeable, learn how to do a gear retraction, learn how to open the cowling.
Well, you know, what if, I just can't decide which Warbird I want. I mean, can I just make friends with a lot of people?
Oh, definitely.
And have them
definitely
take me for a ride?
Okay. If you really can't decide, our suggestion is always buy more than one.
You know, I don't know why I didn't think, but if someone was really interested, where would they find more information about you, Mark?
www.courtesyaircraft.com.
Wow. I mean, and you don't have specials that you run, like, you know, special on a T6 this week.
Talk to me.
This is good. This is good to know because, I mean, I might just get in at the right time with my checkbook and just have to tell my wife.
The radio specials were yesterday. I'm sorry about that.
Boy. Well, Mark Clark, thank you so much for joining us here from the short drive to Rockford. You really bring some history with you as well.
It's a great thing to be involved in, and we love Oshkosh.
Absolutely. EAA Radio, 12:10 a.m. and 96.5.